This is in the news for February 16th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from commondreams.org, taken from Canadian Press, written by Michelle McAfee. International Study on Arctic Climate Change Produces Startling Findings. This is out of Winnipeg. An extensive international study on the effects of climate change in the Arctic has reached some startling conclusions on issues ranging from how fast polar ice is melting to the impact on Inuit communities. About 120 scientists from 11 countries involved in the Canadian-led research project, which started in 2002, are meeting in Winnipeg this week to present and discuss their findings. One of the most surprising for David Barber, a sea ice specialist at the University of Manitoba, was the fact polar ice is melting at a rate of about 74,000 square kilometers each year, an area about the size of Lake Superior, and has been for the last 30 years. Barber said Tuesday, quote, "This is a very significant result, and it's not some sort of trend that's going to shift back the other way," end quote. Barber added, "There is increasing concern in the scientific community that there are factors actually speeding up the melt, but he cautions it's too late to reverse the trend." He said, quote, "The time to act actually was a few decades ago. We're not going to be able to shift the economies of the planet to get off this fossil fuel addiction in a week or a year or a decade, but we have to start the process now to have some stability for future generations," end quote. Louis Fortier, a researcher with Université Laval in Quebec City, who led the project, agreed the focus in Canada and internationally needs to be on coping with the reality of global warming and minimizing the damage. Fortier said, quote, "If we wanted to really change things to avoid the bulk of the impacts of climate change, we would have to totally change our way of life tomorrow. We'd have to stop using our cars and reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 60 to 80%, which would obviously create major problems," end quote. Climate change models have long predicted global warming would be felt first and strongest in the extreme north and south. This research is proving that they claim to be bang on, said Barber. The crux of the research program, known as the Canadian Arctic Shelf Exchange Study, was a year-long expedition aboard the Canadian research icebreaker CCGS of Edmondson, which was deliberately frozen in an ice floe in Franklin Bay in December 2003. Scientists sampled the winter and spring conditions in the Western Arctic, then continued sampling in the open waters of the Mackenzie Shelf until August 2004. Further research will be done in the coming years to look at the socioeconomic, cultural, and geopolitical impact of climate change, but the Inuit, who spend much of the year living off the sea and ice, are already feeling the negative effects, said Fortier. The ice is not as safe for travel. Houses are being washed away as shorelines erode by as much as 6 meters a year, and food sources such as caribou and seals could eventually disappear and be replaced by other species from other areas within the next century, he said. Great international hope rests on the Kyoto Protocol to help slow the pace of global warming, although the recent election of Prime Minister Stephen Harper has thrown the extent of Canada's participation in doubt. Fortier calls Kyoto a small step, quote, like a toddler starting to walk, end quote, but said North America and Europe will have to do as much as 20 times more than what is outlined in the deal to really solve the problem. Further delaying progress is the use of heavier polluting substances such as yellow coal by emerging economies such as China and India. Fortier said, quote, this will be extremely polluting, but there's nothing we can tell them that will stop that. It's difficult for us to say we've got rich polluting the atmosphere, creating the greenhouse gases problem, but you cannot do it yourself, end quote. Again, that story taken from commondreams.org and out of Canadian Press, written by Michelle McAfee. Next up from the New Standard at newstandardnews.net, written by the New Standard staff, Bush looks to shift Medicaid costs to states and disabled. An independent economic analysis released yesterday found that under the president's proposed budget, states would have to pick up billions in Medicaid expenses, most likely forcing some to reduce services. The federal spending cuts would come on top of funding those already approved by Congress this month, and after several states unexpectedly began picking up the tab for the program's recently enacted prescription drug benefit. The White House budget released earlier this month would hack more than $35 billion in federal Medicaid expenditures over the next 10 years, about $30 billion of which would be transferred to the states, the progressive think tank Center on Budget and Policy Priorities reported yesterday. The analysis found that most of the cuts are regulatory and need no congressional approval. According to CBPP, the administration is seeking a net $5.1 billion in savings through legislation and another $30.4 billion by altering regulations utilizing executive branch powers. The newly proposed cuts top the 10-year $26.5 billion cuts Congress just approved in its budget reconciliation package by a full $9 billion, if approved, would bring federal Medicaid cuts to $62 billion over the next decade. The regulatory cuts include ending payments for the transportation and administrative expenses that school districts incur in educating youths with disabilities, leaving local and state governments to cover the costs, the study said. In addition, the Medicaid program would no longer pay matching funds for developmental treatment and therapy for people with disabilities and mental illness. Together, those rule changes would curtail federal Medicaid spending by $15.2 billion, largely by forcing states to either pay for the services themselves or drop them altogether. In addition, Bush proposes that Medicaid halt payments to hospitals for uninsured patients and have the top tax rate that states are allowed to impose on health care facilities to pay for Medicaid-related services. The rate is presently 6% of gross profits. According to CBPP, these measures would bring another $14 billion or more in cuts. According to Andy Schneider of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, quote, if the federal government shifts large Medicaid costs to the states, some states are likely to turn around and shift a substantial part of those costs to low-income beneficiaries. And since low-income people have nobody they can shift costs to, they likely will end up paying the price, partly in the form of less health care, end quote. There's more on this issue and this article at thenewstandardnews.net. And finally today, a short piece out of Iraq from Reuters. Iraq calls on U.S. to hand over Iraqi detainees. This is out of Baghdad. Iraq's human rights minister called on U.S.-led forces on Thursday to hand over all Iraqi inmates at U.S.-run prisons to the Iraqi government, following more footage of prisoners being abused. Zuhair al-Chalabi told Reuters, quote, we are very worried about the Iraqi detainees in Abu Ghraib. The multinational forces and the British forces should hand them over to the Iraqi government. This is a very dangerous issue that the Iraqi government should review. The Iraqi government should move immediately to have the prisons and the prisoners delivered to the Minister of Justice, end quote. In an interview, Chalabi condemned the previously unpublished images as major human rights violations and compared them to abuses committed under dictatorships. The footage was broadcast on Wednesday by an Australian television station. Chalabi said, quote, these are major human rights violations that turn to crimes. When you torture and hit in this brutal way, it doesn't make any difference from the dictator's systems, end quote. U.S. forces are holding about 14,000 detainees in Iraq. Again, that's from Reuters. Published today, February 16th. This has been in the news for February 16th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. Talk to you next time.